Can you imagine, like, there's parents that were like, you know,
awful.
You remind me of your father, you know, get out of my face.
Just like you did. You should run away too, you sick of shit.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine taking
all
that?
The bad parents live in another place.
They live in New York. Accent.
Yeah.
You're like you did. Go to Yahoo. Well,
I'm glad I didn't grow up there.
God, all the parents are crap in New York.
Welcome back to Just Weirdly Blended. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tom.
And it's been a fucking... It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, yeah.
What, 3 weeks?
We actually did record. We did record.
Yeah.
So we have like an unreleased episode in the world, but not uploaded anywhere. So we might get that uploaded at some point. Not sure.
We had a lot of technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Why? Not 100% sure. Yeah. I think maybe the website that we were using had some issues.
That's kind of where I'm going.
It's kind of like the only thing that I can think of that really would have caused these issues. You guys don't care about it. The point is we think we fixed the problem. We have some new equipment.
Got new equipment, new computer.
This guy went and bought a Sony camera. So
We might look a little prettier than we normally do.
Or, depends. You can see us a lot more clearly. So hopefully prettier. But yeah, so it's great. We're going to go directly from a memory card.
Yeah.
So we'll never have these issues again. Because I know you guys need us on a Sunday morning. Some of you are waking up and going... Where is my Just Weirdly Blended?
You know, do you ever do that though with certain
like
videos or podcasts or someone you follow? You're like used to this you know schedule, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
For me, working out has been great having podcasts to listen to because you know it's like I used to listen to music, but I just listen to the same tracks over and over again.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's like there. I don't really want to listen to the music. Some people really get into like the rhythm, I guess. Like, but I like it's weird. Like, I would listen to Jack Johnson and like Bob Dylan and stuff like that when I'd exercise. Wasn't real like you know beef me up kind of music.
Yeah.
Well, Blanca likes really high energy like.
Yeah, I think I'm more the, not high energy, but some of it, yeah.
Most people like more of an upbeat, you know.
Well, I actually like kind of stuff, rock, like metal and stuff sometimes when I would work out. But I usually just listen to, like I would do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'd be listening to like some kind of, not Jack Johnson, but his name's Jesse Reyes. It's like slower as I'm running.
Right. Some Phil Collins, you know.
You know, so the other night, is kind of a good tie-in actually. This all just right. reminds me of something.
Mm-hmm.
Is the other night I went for a run.
Yeah.
And I did just around the block. So it's a little over 2 miles, right?
Okay.
And I'm listening to my, you know, music, and a song comes on that, like, I don't know, something about this song I really, like, relate to, like, you know, a mental state of who I am.
Yeah.
And so, but this song basically is talking about how, you know, he's tired of this part of him controlling his life, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, he has this pride in him that he's let control his life because... He's afraid of actually succeeding, becoming something because he knows.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
He was just allowing that. And so, like, it kind of, like, resonated with me.
Failed, but the fear of failure kind of thing?
Yeah, and he says, you know, he's tired of that. Like, anytime I fail, you make me feel like shit.
Ah, yeah.
You know, but he's talking about himself.
Right.
Right? And so it, like, really hits with me. So there's, like, a chorus in there that I remember I was hearing it, and I was like, fuck. And, like, I'm trying not to cry. like music for me, that's what it does.
You're very emotionally connected to it.
Yeah, I really am. Sure. Like, I heard it and I was just like, fuck. And I had to rewind the song, you know. It's one of those moments where I was like, damn, you know, I get that. And I was just running. But I'm like, sitting there trying not to cry. So it's so weird how music could just do that to someone.
Well, you know, something about music, it is very connected to, like, the way our brain works.
I mean,
they've done study after study after study on music, and just the amount of, like, neurological connections that we have with music, it's pretty wild. The fact that we even have music, you know, the latest study that I heard was kind of interesting. They took random rhythms, and it was just, like, totally weird beats, and then they'd ask people from, like, all over the world to play the rhythm back, and time after time, people tended to actually put rhythm to it instead of just letting it be chaotic. When they would give it back,
clean it.
It would be a more clean, timed rhythm. And it was different, the different culture, you know, the different type of maybe drum beat that that culture might have. It tended to be more in that flair of that particular
style.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty wild. Our brains naturally want to make order out of chaos.
Well, like, it's so crazy too, because like music is so universal,
mm-hmm.
right? But mm-hmm. it's so not like the one thing I like love about music is just hearing the different types of music.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I don't understand Mexican music. I don't, but I can hear the rhythm and yeah. I can hear the, sometimes depending on like artists or something, you can actually hear their emotion mm-hmm. through the lyric.
Well, Hispanic music, I forget the actual term for it, but what you're talking about, it is a very emotional.
Yeah.
They usually sing almost like they're crying. You know, like she left me and, it's kind of like the old blues. The American blues is a beaten like down country. Guy, but like, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely country.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is where you can hear those mashups. Like, you listen to Bavarian music. If you go you know, it's like, it's one of my go-tos. If you go to Leavenworth here in Washington, a lot of people know about Leavenworth. It's like a German town in America. They play a lot of Bavarian music in the streets. Well,
that's right.
A lot of the same instruments that are used in the tone
they have accordions and all that
right.
stuff.
And that's actually one of the influences of Mexican music. So
they just heard the Germans.
There were a lot of, migrations that happened and a lot of cultures coming together in places, and it just happened to be that musically that was one. And so it's really weird to hear two, I mean, polar opposite cultures share something.
That's so cool, though.
You got Adolf Hitler, and you've got Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. What's the Mexican president?
Wild.
Or who was it? Was there a dictator in Mexico anyway?
No, but the only one I remember was Fox, President Fox.
Oh, Vicente Fox.
Yeah, he was back, I think, on like the 9/11 time, because I remember him coming and talking to George W. Bush and all that.
Crazy. It is crazy, though, how you do borrow like different sounds.
Yeah.
But like, there's this metal band. They're called Orphanland. My brother introduced me to, and I might have talked to you about them before.
You may have.
But they're from, I want to say, Jerusalem or Israel or somewhere around in that area, right? Sing beautifully. The dude has a beautiful voice. English and stuff. But you'll hear sounds in the music, like certain instruments and stuff, that is native to probably that area.
Gotcha.
Or, you know, the sound, even though it's in like this rock, it has a sound of like that Mediterranean, like over there or something. Right. It's cool. It's a fucking it's badass.
But you can hear definite cultural mashups in the last 5 years, maybe to a decade, maybe.
Well, you've been getting a lot of mixed too.
Yeah,
like country and rap.
Yeah, well, Beyonce now does country.
Yeah,
and her song. Her song, I gotta say, the big one, that Texas Hold'em or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good song. It's funny though. People have mentioned
what makes it country. Is it this is the sound? Because she doesn't sound
it's
country.
The sound. I appreciate about Beyonce, because the one main issue I've had about country my entire life, and sorry to you country lovers out there, but you'll get guys from like Ontario, Canada, you know, that sing like they're from the deep south, and it's very fake to me. Like that, I think be your authentic self. I really appreciate that Beyonce's voice is the same as it always is. So I like the fact that there's, you know, reality to her voice. She actually did grow up in Texas. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not the biggest Beyonce.
You didn't watch Selena? She ran into her.
I did not.
There's a scene in the movie, the show Selena.
Yeah.
Where Beyonce runs into Selena.
Oh, nice.
When she's young or something like that.
Did that really happen?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I know. Like, okay, by happenstance.
Who knows? Maybe. But there's a scene there where you see that, and I'm like,
what's
really?
Her name?
Beyonce Knowles.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. It was pretty much like
well,
that.
You're not going to make it, Beyonce.
No. Selena was all super Selena about it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's cool.
Your big booty going to get you somewhere.
You belong to the city.
Yeah.
No, we were listening to a fun old 80s song before this.
Yeah,
show started,
it was a song I heard in Goodwill, and it just being staying on the music, it just. I'm like listening to it, and I'm like, is he talking? Because I caught it like midway, and I was just like, is he talking about like this chick belongs to the streets? Like, What is going on?
Like it was like she was a prostitute.
Yeah, yeah.
My theory is that he was in love with her, and every night he'd lose her to the streets.
But it had that rhythm to it.
Like Roxanne, wasn't Roxanne kind of that story? Roxanne, you don't have to put on that red
dress tonight,
or that red dress. Whatever.
We're all mixing songs.
Don't go to the dinner party, Roxanne.
Yeah, Roxanne by what's his name? Rick Roll.
Yeah, it's
Rick Astley. Actually,
but I did hear the Beyonce song. Somebody did like a little video. I think it was like one of the YouTube shorts or whatever. And they're like, where they talk back and forth, like the same person's acting like two people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's like, hey, have you heard the Beyonce song? They're like, yeah. And then they play part of it, and it's like dancing. He goes, yeah, it's like, I think he said it's like the Franklin song. He goes, no, that's like Franklin or Arthur or something. Like, what? I'm like, no. And then they play the beginning to one of the PBS cartoons, and brilliant. It was like pretty spot on. Like, he goes, shit.
That's how you sample.
So, I mean, it's got a good beat to it. Blanca played it for me, and I like Beyonce as a person. I'm not a huge Beyonce music fan.
I'm definitely not.
No. And, I think, stylistically, like
it's catchy.
Yeah. But I'm ready to just kind of like lay into this song, and I heard it. I'm like, oh, no, it's like it's catchy. It's catchy. It's a good song.
I think the only thing that makes it country to me is the, woo. I mean, there's that, or just the guitar,
Right.
The way it sounds.
Yes.
Like her singing isn't to me country, the country I grew up with. But
that's what I appreciate.
I mean,
That's actually part I appreciate is that she's authentic. I think country would probably reach a broader audience if it didn't all sound.
Yeah, but I think they don't care.
Country. They don't.
They gonna stay country.
Like Reba McEntire, I get, because when she talks.
And then there's been a couple country singers that kind of went to the pop side of things.
Yeah, that's been happening for a while. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. And
Flo Rida, right? Didn't he do some kind of like country-ish?
Yeah, and so there's some country that I don't consider country, like Georgia-Florida line. Sound country.
Right.
It's
definitely a mashup.
It is, right. But I don't think it's called... For me, I don't consider it country.
So they have to be twang. They got to have that voice.
To me, like, that's a twangy thing, but... Country also is just music in general, where it's just a certain vibe that it gives. Just like any music, really.
Right.
And to me, the Georgia Florida line gives me more of a... It's not rap, but it's like...
I know what you mean.
I don't know.
I know what you mean. Upbeat.
It's
poppy hip-hop, kind
of. But that could be a new genre of country, where it's like pop country.
It is. Well, that's becoming a big deal. And I think they're realizing a lot of... unfortunately, everything boils down to money. There's a lot of money to be made... Yeah. By two worlds combining, and I think that's kind of what we're seeing. I mean, now is a lot of it's the art, maybe it's just the art.
Like, as not of the biggest Beyonce fan, I think it's cool that she, did do that,
For sure,
and went that way and stuff. And
right,
it is, showing that she can, multi talented.
Well, the song wasn't trash, that was the coolest thing to me. Is like it actually, it had, like a real memorable,
I don't know what it is, it
might have been Franklin or something, but.
I'm not a big voice of her. I don't like her voice as much. I don't know. It's just something, and that's just been me since Destiny's Child. Like I was never like a big fan of hers, even from then. I like Destiny's Child, but just I don't know.
I gotcha.
I was more of a, what was there Michelle? Was that the other one in Destiny's Child?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't remember their names.
You're like, I don't remember. He don't remember that group.
Jessica, I think. Jessica was.
Jessica. Yeah. Super.
So
we got, hopefully the camera, like we said, looks good and the audio is coming through clear.
Yeah.
It's not, let us know. Sometimes we don't hear what you guys might hear.
Right.
The way you hear it.
So. We hear, obviously, through our
headphones.
It sounds great here.
Sometimes I get the worry that we're going to like do this whole podcast and then when we play it back, it's like,
worst case scenario is what we hit last week where we kept losing signal and we would be talking and realize we're not recording. So.
We should. Mix up last week and this week
together
so really confuse everyone.
This would have to be a really short podcast this week. We could
dude,
do it.
It was so crazy.
We're gonna have to make three cuts in order to make one episode because it kept just stopping recording, which you guys care so much about. I know.
What have you been up to?
Me, in the last 3 weeks? Yeah. I don't remember. Last week we did what we call spring conferences, which is weird, in March.
So do you like have a conference with each kid's parents, or do you choose?
In the fall, we want to have a conference with everybody.
Okay.
So we really want to reach out to families, make sure that everyone's connected and all that.
Yeah.
Spring, it's more optional. So I reached out to the parents that definitely I wanted to touch base with and, you know, talk about specific issues or whatever. But it's up to the parents too. So we send like a card home. That's how our school does it. We say, I do want a conference or I don't.
I think that's the school send district it, thing.
And then they say, yes, I do or no, I don't. I'm not sure what would happen if I said, yes, I do, and they said, no, I don't. I think I would still try to like say, well, please come in.
Yeah, you know?
But
that's kind of what JJ got was the card then.
Yeah,
because no, JJ was card. Do I have a conference? I was like, I don't think so, to be honest. Like,
not having behavior issues and like all the academics are, you know, relative on par. Like, you know, I had parents that I could have met with, but if like we've talked a lot and we pretty well know, like if they're up to speed and it's not something so significant that I'm really worried about the kid, then there's really no reason for
it. Have you ever been in a situation where you had like a parent that just wasn't open to letting their kid learn? You know what I mean? Like the kid was like kind of behind and the parent was just like not being cooperative and helping
them,
you know, because sometimes parents are lazy in the fact that
One time where a parent didn't think that all the homework was necessary and I respectfully disagreed, but ultimately, I mean, I just told them like, look, I mean, it's your kid.
Yeah.
I can't make you do the homework. I do think that it's important that he do it because he is behind a little bit, but at the same time, if it's a really busy night and it's something that you don't think you can do, then that's your...
Was he just in sports or something, I wonder?
I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the reasoning was, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, every family
has...
You're
taken away from his game.
But it's like, you know, really? I mean, the homework is there for a reason. So, like, I tried to explain to parents, like, they're exposed to it in the morning, right? They have hours in between. We kind of, you know, you'll hit it throughout the day, but the real direct, what we call direct instruction on that piece, happens at a specific time. In our case, it was in the morning. So if they're going over those materials again that night, their brain's got probably a 10-hour window where now it's going back and it's seeing it again. So that reinforcement within a period of time should start to show results. If they're getting it in the morning and not seeing it again till the next morning, now you've got 24 hours.
Yeah, you're doing so much.
The connections may not be as strong as if you're to see it in the morning, see it at night, see it in the morning, see it at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the little talks throughout the day, the little connections mean more.
Yeah. No, so, that makes sense.
I mean, that's just like
anything, though.
You know, and like the reality is, if you want your kid to succeed, like it doesn't mean that you're sitting there reading all night. You know, kids need a break too. They need to play. They need to. But it's just like, you know, I think for families, the hardest thing is if you have families that don't have a structure down.
Yeah.
You know, there's not like a set way that things go after school. That's when you have probably the hardest time making sure your kid's making it, because it's like, well, there's no set time where they have dinner. There's no set time where there's this or that. Or sometimes kids are just on their tablet the entire evening. It's like, well, I mean, they can do tablet after they've read. And plus it's an opportunity for parents and kids to be together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's just a time to take 30 minutes out of your night, sit with your kid.
There's times where I'm not that I don't want to spend time with my kids, right. But there's, I'm just, you know, you're tired, you come home tired.
Absolutely. And I get that too. I get that too. Cause I, you know, I'm a parent. I haven't been perfect every night, but
yeah, but sometimes you just got to suck it up and just do it anyway.
It's really, I mean, it's a short period of our life. You know,
30
and
minutes.
It's like by third grade, if your kid's not reading on grade level, it's an uphill battle from that point on. So truly, like if you have a little kid at home, the earlier you start, the better. Read a bedtime story. If you're tracking the words, if you're going the direction of the words on the page and you're pointing to them as these little guys, by the time they get into school, they know what the cover of a book is. They know what the back of a book is. They know how the words move.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing just the things that you do intuitively as a parent sometimes and the impact it makes on your kid.
I will say Alicia like was really good about like reading bedtime stories to like JJ
and
stuff,
it makes
and
an impact.
That,
Both of our boys do pretty well in school and it's because, you know, they got something.
I would sometimes read. Sometimes I'd make up a story.
Sure.
Because he wanted a story, so I was the, you know, there'd be times I'd just make up dumb, stupid story.
That's fine, too. You were there for your kid. You were there with him. There was a connection there.
Make up your own story.
And I think, you know, you were demonstrating creativity, too.
No.
That's like a step in writing.
I will say, JJ is... He has some stuff that he writes in class because they're doing essays and they're doing stuff like that. He'll read us these essays or, you know, these little, you know, one page, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Man, some of them I'm like, I told Lisa, I go, man, that's like kind of like good. Like there was there was a lot of detail, but he used like decent words for a fourth grader, you know, like pretty big words. And I'm like, man, he should explore the writing, I think.
See, I think he would be a really writing.
Good. I think he'd be a good writer.
Elliot, I'm like, he's like, what are the basic requirements? I will meet the basic. He gets threes on everything.
Everyone's
talking to him for. He's just like, let me get this out. Let me get it done. Which I gotta be proud of him because in kindergarten he hated writing. He would like, I remember one time. At the end of the day, his kindergarten teacher came down the hall because I work at his school.
Yeah.
She goes, do you need to tell dad? And he had his head down. And he's like, he didn't really do his writing. They're writing about penguins. I still remember. I mean, it was like, you know, kindergarten. It was like two sentences about a penguin.
Yeah.
So I walked him down the hall and like, show me. Show me. And his head's down. He had nothing. Oh. He wrote penguin or something. And it was so funny. I'm like, because he just was devastated and so upset as this little kindergartner. I'm like, buddy, you can't not do your work.
Like, I can't think of creative words.
Every year, though, I mean, he's an overthinker. I think know Elliot pretty well. He's one of those kids that if he thinks too much about it, he gets in his head and then he just shuts down.
Yeah.
So if he feels like he's falling behind, he just likes to sit with it for a little bit. And I get it. I don't, it's not that he can't do it. It's that
he has to think about it for a minute.
It's a process.
That's how I am.
You know, he just really wants to kind of like bask in it for a little bit and get his thoughts together and then put it down. And and his teachers have always been really good because, you know, I mean, working there is nice because you can really have those conversations anytime. They've understood and we've really gotten him to a place where, like, he'll get it done. It just, like, last year for the third grade state testing.
Yeah.
The teacher was like, so, she's like, we want him to have his time, but we're running out of time. Can you talk to him about getting it done? And I was like, absolutely. So I talked to him, like, buddy, don't just sit there. Yeah. Like, I get that you want to, like, you think about it, or maybe you want to avoid it. But either way, like, you're going to run out of time, and your score is going to be shit. Like, you got to do something. So he pulled it together, and he got that done. But kids are all different.
It's just crazy how you learn different.
Well, Elena, I mean, the kid that we share.
Yeah.
She drives me nuts because she is fully capable of everything.
God, she's just lazy.
She'll have the homework done and then just won't turn it in. I'm like, kid. And she's getting a lot better.
I get it.
Because we've talked to her, I think, both sides. We're talking to her and keeping her on it. But, man, like, you don't check in for a week. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, what the fuck? What happened?
I think she needs that.
She does.
I think she needs that push. Like, hey, I need you to... Because I tell her, I was like, I don't care if Chloe comes over, her friend. Mm-hmm. She has this friend that comes over. But if you got an F, like...
Then you need to...
I'm helping you out. Help me out, you know, help yourself out, actually, you know.
Well, it's like, I think we said this before. If it's too hard for your kid. this is a parenting podcast this week. This is good stuff. You don't want to listen to it. You're a bad parent. bad parent.
Podcast, bad parents.
Yeah, bad parenting. It's all right. Hey, we're all bad parents from time to time.
Oh,
we all
terrible.
Do a selfish thing. I mean, I'm guilty of it more than I would like to.
I think I'm more of a bad parent than a good parent.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You know?
To be honest with you.
I'm a piece of shit.
A
good parent might make mistakes, but overall, does your kid feel loved? Does your kid feel safe? Does your kid know how to be a decent human being?
Yeah,
probably. You know, are you checking in with your kid? Can you get mad at your kid, but your kid still relies on you and knows that you're there? I've blown up at Elliot at times. I've probably said things I shouldn't have said or whatever, but at the end of the day, do I know that that kid knows I love him?
You're just like your mother.
You're like your mother. I can't stand you. Why don't you run away?
Can you imagine talking to a kid like that?
Oh, my God, no. That stuff I haven't said.
No, I know. No, but can you imagine? Like, there's parents that were like, you know,
awful.
You remind me of your father, you know, get out of my face.
Just like you did. You should run away too. You sick of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you imagine taking
all
that?
The bad parents live in another place.
They live in New York. Accent.
Yeah.
You're like you did. Go to Yahoo. Well,
I'm glad I didn't grow up there.
God, all the parents are crap in New York.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. Lots of good parents in New York. God
but
bless
they sound
New York.
More mean.
But they sound mean. I mean, the best parent in New York sounds like, you do your homework? I'm really proud of you.
I know.
You did a great job, son. That's just so aggressive. Boston, those parents got to be awful.
Dude, I wish I had that, though, because like we've talked about before, those accents, you just sound tough.
So cool.
It's so cool. But what were you going to say about parenting?
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't mean to. I cut you off, my fault.
No, it's time to move on. This isn't just a parenting podcast. This is a family podcast at some point. This is a mental health podcast. This is
a
men talking podcast. You know, that does actually take me. I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about this or not, but I think I am. I think this is a good segue into it. My wife and I, Blanca, we've been watching the show Love is Blind.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix. And I really hate reality TV shows. I pretty well refuse to watch them. But this one, for whatever reason,
I've
allowed myself to get into. And it's got some drama and bullshit, but it's got some redeeming qualities, I will say. There are some real relationships that have come out of it. And it really is kind of something.
So, what's the premise?
So the premise of Love is Blind is you take these group
like
of men
dates?
And women, and yes, you put them into these what they call pods, where they live together as men and women separately. So they never see each other, but they go into these little booths that are like a little couch and like basically like a tiny living room where you can't see the person, but you can talk. So the entire relationship is based solely on conversations. So you're trying to connect on a emotional level first.
And then they
meet. So if you get to the point where you find your person and you propose, or they propose to you and you accept, then you meet. And so you go to this other spot and they reveal and you see each other the first time. You run to each other, kiss, say hi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That's... Oh, my God. You don't look like what I thought, or like, wow, you're so beautiful.
God,
wow.
Damn it. You're ugly.
So, I mean, but you see it. I mean, sometimes you see it in that second. Like, you know, love's not totally blind. I mean, you know, and to be fair, like, you do have a type sometimes.
Well, no.
And you can have an emotional.
I got to say, there has to be a physical attraction.
There's a physical spark that has to happen. And sometimes there's a very beautiful person. Like, there are people I recognize as being very beautiful that I am not attracted to. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that sometimes just that physical piece, whatever it is, chemical, whatever, it's not there. And so, you know, that's a little tough. You can really tell. It doesn't always work out, but then you get couples that do work out. So there is, I mean, they play it off like, you know, like we're a serious show that doesn't, they do some shit that's like, yeah, you didn't have to do it like that. Like you didn't have to throw these people together. And so like after they do that, they go off, like all the couples that have made it, they go off to an island or to Mexico or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a week in paradise, kind of like a honeymoon type.
Okay.
Or like a little trip. I guess not a honeymoon, but
like
a trip
more acquainting.
Yeah.
Get to know
so like
each
they're
other.
Gonna go have fun and they're staying in a hotel,
level.
But all the couples are there. So they're seeing people that they might have talked to. Like sometimes it might have been a person that they also connected with pods.
So they just talk to each other like your cellmate above you and your cellmate below you?
So
you said so multiple people can talk to each other?
So okay, so in the beginning stage, they set up times. So they've got like let's say 8 pods on each side.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Guy and girl meet up and
okay,
down.
Okay, yeah.
And then it's like, okay, 12:30, so I have a date in pod 5.
Oh,
so
okay. Oh, yeah, I get you. Like speed dating style.
Speed
dating. Okay.
So you're talking, and actually I could see this working in the real world.
If you
had, like, say that you knew your type and there was like an agency that could take your type and then put you in that situation where you just talked to people and there was no.
We should just start that business. JWB coming.
That's actually copyrighted. You can't do that because we're going to do that.
Yeah,
so
that
is legally bound now. That's our thing. And we didn't,
anyway, go on.
We didn't get the idea off a TV
great
show.
Great idea.
Okay. We came up with it first. It was our idea.
Is love blind?
Is love? Is it? No, that's their question. Well, they say love is. We're asking. Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Yeah, they go off and they have fun for like a week. And then that's they have cool. to go back to real life. So they get set up in an apartment or something in the city where they're all from. Because they cast in like the same city.
You got
to
have no job.
Well, so at this point, they've probably been gone for 2 weeks. Because all of this entire show happens in a month.
Oh,
that's okay. the insane part of it. Which Jesus. I'm like, come on. Like, that's... I wouldn't say yes probably at the end of this. But anyway, so then they go back and spend 2 weeks living together in real life. They go back to work. They have to start making their... And that's the kind of the cool thing about the show is, like, you do see these, like, fast-paced situations where now they're living together in an apartment, together in a shared space, going to work, dealing with, like, some of the life stresses. And in the meantime, since they all live in the same place, the show sets up scenarios where they all get together. So if you imagine that you're dating two people that you like both of them a lot.
Been there.
Right? Okay. No, you're not sure who... I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For those of us that have been in this situation, where it's unfair is a lot of times we look at these things and we're like, what a dirtbag or whatever. But
yeah.
think about like 2 weeks after you think you are might be in love with this one person, you're seeing them all the time. And you're asking yourself, like, the person I'm with? Like, that?
Because
like,
you get that feeling of like, young love right away.
Right.
You know, and
you don't really have the time to get out of that. So it's like sometimes very unfair the way that it's like this person's like the villain, but are they? Or is it just such a short period of time?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of my like, the show, like that's where I'm like, you guys aren't all about love working out because you obviously wouldn't bring certain people back. Like they'll bring people back that someone had a connection to that didn't find somebody. And I'm like, well, what was the point of that?
Well, of course,
you're just trying to make it interesting.
Let's see what happens.
So that, like, be real.
That's called a science. That's like let's test this hypothesis.
And you can say that. I mean, like, you know, truly, things are going to happen in life, and you're going to have to deal with it. So I get it on the one hand, but then on the other hand, they act like we don't do it. Like, I don't know. One season, the people were kind of like, I think that was cut a little unfairly. Like, you know. So I mean, it is a show. It is.
It's entertainment.
They make storylines.
Of course.
I mean, they all do it.
They have
to. Overall, I will say, for a guy that doesn't like reality shows, I can watch that one. It's not too over the top.
Yeah, yeah,
and there are some real... I mean, I will say, Blanc and I tend to feel closer together when we watch it.
Yeah.
Because it's all about love and stuff. And you kind of think back on when you were in a relationship, like, at that stage.
Well,
or
and
whatever.
I think you actually end up having conversations about things that happen
you
within
do.
That.
You do. You have conversations.
Know? Like, how would you react?
Looking
what would you
through
do?
People and kind of recalibrating. Like, we've been really harsh on people. And then, like, I've stopped and said, okay, but they're 2 weeks out of talking with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being thrown in a situation to see them for the first time. Obviously, you're going to have stuff in your head.
Now, do you think there's people who lie, like, just because they don't want to make the other person feel bad?
Yeah.
Like, they had this great conversation, but when they see him, they're like, oh, fuck, they're ugly, but, like...
No, you can tell.
Yeah.
There is a girl, a very beautiful girl, and the guy... So they were both... I think they were both, like, Indian, like, from, like, you know, American, but, like, Indian heritage, I think is what it was. He had always dated white girls, and he was all about how it was going to be great and fine. And then, you know, spoiler, I guess.
Yeah.
He just ends up kind of being a douche.
Oh, okay.
But it's because physically, and she was like gorgeous. Like there was nothing wrong with her.
I think Indian women are gorgeous, actually.
He just ended up didn't have that.
Well, sometimes
I guess attraction, which you can't blame somebody, but it's a really, it is a tough situation because it's like, on the one hand, it's happening so fast. I can see being like, trying to work through that, meaning like I'm doing what I always do and I don't want to do that. This is an amazing person. I'm never going to do better.
Kudos.
You know, so I don't want to be too harsh on anybody because it's like, it really is like we can sit on a couch and watch it. And
well, that's
just
the point, right?
But
commentary,
it's a fascinating show. If you haven't watched it, give it a shot, especially if you have your wife. If it's just you and the guys, probably not. But
later, me and Tom are going to start season one.
But there's a guy. So there's a guy in one of the seasons. I won't say which, but he. I was talking to Jesse about this beforehand because this is really kind of what this podcast is about. I think. So this guy is, you know, he's kind of like a player. Right, mm-hmm. He's kind of got like the athlete attitude, he's been playing around. And he wants something serious, right? So he goes on the show. Well, he's been exposed to a lot in his life, And he feels like he's never really had a good, strong male role model. And he's a black man, and he really identifies
I can relate to all that right away.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, and I don't. My dad was always in my life and all that, whatever. But it was what was sad to me was like, I'm like listening to him talk and like the need to see someone like him. It wasn't like he could, like, I would never be a role model to him. Like, he needed somebody that he felt like he looked like, that he acted like. Right?
Yeah. Someone who could relate to him at that level. Yeah,
exactly. And that was a very, just listening to, because you could easily look at him and be very critical and like, what a douche. You know, usually most people that are kind of in that boat, I'm usually like, you're just a douche. Because a lot of times they have that machismo so much that they can't call out their own bullshit. And to this guy's credit, I mean, he may or may not have gone about everything the right way, but he was never over the top off. And he was always fairly honest. And it was sad to kind of see.
Well, if you don't have that male role model, sometimes you don't know how to act in certain situations.
Well, exactly.
Because you're reacting in that moment where you're like, oh, because I've been there where it's like, I chose B instead of A, which A was probably the better choice, but at that moment it was just like,
it's patterns.
You do something stupid.
Patterns.
It's easier to escape whatever.
Learns patterns, and we are comfortable with what we know.
If you start at 12 and then you have these little moments, just like reading.
Right. Just like
just like you're reading things.
Exactly. Right. I mean, it was really sad.
From what you told me, it's like he had some crazy situations.
His dad would take him with him to cheat on his mom.
That's fucking
wild. And then he had to hide it. So he was like the alibi. So then he couldn't tell his mom. So if it was like, oh, I'm going to take him to see a baseball game, they'd go home and he'd have to act like they went to a baseball game while he's in the other room while his dad's fucking somebody. The trauma that does to a person. So this guy, needless to say, ends up saying no. You can kind of read it the entire time. Like, he's talking big and, oh, I'm going to this and that, but his face is always scared. His face. And he flat out admitted, I'm afraid I'm going to be my dad. I'm afraid I'm going to do the same thing, which how would you not be afraid?
You lied to
your mom, which wasn't your fault, but you were in that situation. But it's great because at the very end, like, the mom, after he gets to the thing and he says no and all this, the mom talks to his dad and is like, hey, you and me, whatever. Like, that's done. Like, I forgive you.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, yeah.
Did the mom, after, you know, during that story, did she know the husband would cheat on her?
Like she knew that part because their marriage ended after 25 years.
I'll let you tell the rest. But like,
I
didn't know. I wanted to know.
Contextual. Okay. That is a piece that you kind of do have to know. The mom.
And they're not together now.
They're not together now. Oh, they were together for like 25 years, and then she got tired of it because she knew that he cheated frequently.
Oh, okay.
He was a frequent different women.
But they're still cordial in the fact that they can talk to each other.
I mean, it was like she's a very strong woman. I mean, you can tell just the way she carried herself, the way she talked. To him and the girl when they were dating. Because there's a point where you meet each other's families. It's just, she had a really solid head on her shoulders, and she was a woman. I mean, they're just wise beyond their years, and, like, she had been through a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
And, it was a real moment. I mean, that's the nice thing about the show. There are moments that are very real, mixed in with the other shit.
But that's what makes it, you can appreciate it.
She talks to the dad after, and she looks at him just like, you know, you and me, we're fine. Like, you did your thing to me, and it hurt, but that's not what matters. She's like, I forgive you, blah, blah, blah. But I've learned in this show, in the course of this last month, things that I never knew. And what you did to him is why he's here today. Why he couldn't say yes, because he thinks he's going to be you, and that's not okay.
That's
and you need
cool.
to go apologize.
She called him out on his
and
bullshit.
He was, to his credit, he stood there and he heard it. I don't know, you know, in their life, I don't know what's happened since.
Yeah.
But it is really sad to see an adult who you would think of as like a strong person. And I think he was a strong, he did the right thing. He said no for the right reason.
Well, cause he would have probably ended up hurting her because he wasn't ready,
and he could lose her, but he did the right thing. And I think that's very commendable. And, if he were going to be like his dad, he would have said yes.
Yeah.
And he would have just gone on and done his thing. He didn't do that. So he already made a choice. And that's the thing for people, like, you can look at your life and the choices you've already made and ask yourself, is the pattern the same or is it different? He made a choice in that moment to do something different. Yeah. Maybe he was going to go on and cheat. Maybe he was going to go on and do this stuff. But at least he wasn't going to hurt her. Yeah. And that was the choice that he made. And that was a good choice.
Which I get because, you know, he probably did, like, appreciate her and respect her.
He loved her. He wanted her. But he couldn't say yes yet. And he tried to make it clear, like, I'm not saying I don't want to be with you. I'm not saying no, not ever. I'm saying in this moment, I don't feel that I can give that to you.
Well, you're not ready. Like, there was a, so there was this.
And it's a month. They've known each other a fucking month.
So there was this girl I was talking to before I met Alicia and stuff, and she was hands down, she was a good person, right? She was a good girl, and like most of the time I would be that person where I'd, you know, just mess around with chicks or do whatever here and there and not really care. But like for her, like I didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
like,
she was too good a person.
I wasn't ready to where she was at in life. Compared to where I was, like, I wasn't ready for, like, that kind of relationship.
Right.
And so, like, I had, you know, I ended up doing the same thing. Like, I'm not ready, and it's kind of not fair to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, be on you. And then when I became ready, obviously, Alicia came into my life. And
right.
She, you know, that's who I was, well, you know, that's, you that was made that for person, me. That person was made for me.
And that person, for whatever reason, is the person that you know. Yeah. Like, I'm in it. I'm ready for that.
We were talking to Sadia and her little friend last night and stuff. And, you know, they're young. And he's a young man.
He's a young man.
Yeah. Good kid.
little guy from what?
So I was just trying to tell him stuff. Yeah, he's just a little guy. He's taller than I am and shit. Yeah.
No, he is. How old is he? 25, you said?
About 25, so, yeah, something like
that. He's a young man. He's a young man.
He's in a place, and, you know, this is something, and I told Leo this too, my stepson. He has his own place and stuff, and I was like, man, you should be proud of where you're at. Like, you're so much further ahead than I was at that age.
Sure.
You know what I mean? At 25, dude, I was barely getting out of Job Corps. I think I finally moved over here. Like, I still didn't have shit figured out. Like, you know, I'm, like, scraping by. You know, it was...
Right.
It wasn't, you know, you see these kids like that now, like, nah, I'm going to do this and this.
Right.
And so that's how this other kid is. His name's Levi. He's just, you know, got his shit together.
Kind of goal-driven.
Yeah, he is. He's like, there's something he's trying to prove, right? That, you know.
To himself.
To himself, right? And to probably others, like, I can do this. You know, and I get that because I have that same motivation, you know, so, but, you know, we were just telling him about being with like-minded people and just like sometimes, you know, you got to disassociate yourself from those, you know, and you got to realize like that guy from the show, you're not your dad.
Right.
You know, you're not this person.
Those patterns don't have to be. They can be hard to break.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sure, you've seen that stuff and that sucks, but at the same time, like, you're not that. So just.
But I think, you know, to you know, that guy's credit, like, the fact that he recognized it, the fact that he didn't want to be it.
I mean, that's such a big step.
That is huge because people that don't have control over it aren't going to acknowledge it. They're not even going to care enough for that. They would have married her. And then just fucked.
Well, how long you know? Before you realized some of the stuff that you do? Like for me, like certain things I struggled with or whatever, I didn't really realize them until later on in life. And then to catch that stuff when you're like younger,
thirties, and maybe in my forties I'll be like, oh boy, I didn't have anything figured out. But your twenties are such a chaotic time. Like I know. You start off your 20s, like I was in college at the time. Not everybody's in college, but I think we're all kind of in the same spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of us have nothing figured out.
Yep.
We are looking toward a future where everything is starting to happen. We're not in that future yet. It's kind of the fuck around years, right? And then by the end of your 20s, I definitely felt not enough had happened is where I thought the story was supposed to be. Yeah. I was a very A to B person. Like you have a path. And you follow it and things happen. I think I've said before, I think having a easier upbringing, that's the downside is
you think
take things for granted. You don't really necessarily realize that
it's not A to things, B.
I mean, you better be ready for.
We had to tell our daughter that she wants things from here to, you know, basically that same
thing. Well, see, because
that's not going to happen.
Our kids have been raised the way I was.
Like, that's
your
not going to happen.
Your kids have been raised that way.
Yeah, they are.
They have had nothing to really worry about.
Yeah.
They've had solid parents. They've had housing, food, love,
everything.
Attention. But how is school set up? School, you need these classes, they put you in these classes. You need these classes, then college, it steps up a little bit. You got to try to get into the class and make sure that it's not full and then find the other class. But, I mean, if you're not an idiot, you're going to get into the classes that you need and you're going to get through it. It's not like getting a job. Where in my case, it's a bad economy. I came out in 2009.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And I didn't have a lot of confidence. Like, that was the biggest issue I had. Was a person that came out and really was uncomfortable talking myself up. And I went from hanging out with people all day, every day, to coming home and hanging out with my parents. I mean, my world got small. I got kind of depressed. I got in a really bad space, and that lasted, I mean, really up until I decided to go back to school to become a teacher. It was like, I regressed so much. It's like, I was at this point where I was like hanging out with people all the time, having a blast, like, graduating college,
and then that ended.
And I was really excited to reconnect with my family and everything, but as you know, a human, as a man, as
you,
like,
you think after college, it's like, boom, I got this career.
I was gonna get a job right away, maybe not like the perfect job, but something. Yeah. And I couldn't even get hired at like Target. Like, I was just educated enough, but I didn't have other practical skills. And so it was just a really rough time. And, you know, in my 30s, having a career and kids, like, I've gotten to the point now where I still have a lot to look ahead towards, you know, goals. And I still tend to think more about the future, but there's a past to look at now too.
Well, I think it's cool. Like, you're also, you know, like, you've got, you know, in your 30s and stuff, accomplished a lot, you know.
I hope so.
You know what I mean? Like, being able to get, like, a house and doing, like, that stuff, you know, building a family.
Well, that's Blanca. I was going to save
like me, for me, it's been in my last, you know, like, probably about 35, I think. I was probably, like, 34. Somewhere around there is when I decided, like, I'll buy a house.
Yeah, right.
But that was because Alicia.
Right.
And that's kind of, like, going kind of back to last night, Levi was talking about, like, having, you know, it's nice to have, like, a woman kind of on your side someone who's going to push you. And I was telling him, like, yeah, man, I was like, I didn't have stuff. I didn't, you know, I've been in your boat. Like, I didn't have people pushing me.
Right.
I didn't have, you know, advice given to me. You know, it was just like, I'm doing all this myself. Mm-hmm. And so I was just trying to tell him to be, you know, be proud of that.
Right.
You know, because... And then, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at without my wife, because she was kind of like pushing me to get a house. And,
yeah.
But she wasn't doing it in a way like, I'm going to leave your ass if you don't get me a house. You know, but it was just more of like, hey, we should probably get a bit.
You want to establish.
But I wanted to do that because I like, you know, I was like, damn, this girl gets me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose that because, you know, I maybe not had that.
Right. Well, and so when, like, and that's like kind of where Blanca and I were.
But yeah.
We went. Really fast. Thank God it
work
because, yeah, it was like we...
Me and Alicia the same way. I was already moved into her house within like a month of us being together. That's how
we were.
You know, it was quick.
She lived with her mom, so I hung out in her room a lot. But I mean, we were both in our late 20s. I mean, we were like 27.
Yeah.
But what a wild time. Yeah, I went from just like... I didn't have luck with anything. I was very... Like, I was on a... couple dating sites, went on a few dates, nothing really.
Plenty of fish, baby, right here.
That's where we met. No. That's where I met his ex-wife.
So that's where I met my current wife.
Yeah, it was actually like 11 years ago as of Thursday. So the night I had to stay at work late was our anniversary of our first date. So we had talked from the weekend before we talked, and then we actually met on that Thursday for our first date. Went well. Basically from that day on. Like, she played hard to get for a while, but really, like, we hung out every day after that point.
So ours is like a July, I want to say like the 12th or 17th, somewhere around there is when our first like meeting date was. Uh-huh. And that'll be probably like 12 years for us. Yeah. Like that. Something crazy.
I think you were together a bit before we were.
Yeah, not much though.
Yeah.
It all happened. Like, dude.
Right.
When I say this, like, my son was born June 18th. His is July 18th. Like,
and at the time, we didn't know the other was pregnant. We didn't. Well, I mean, we knew when the baby's
But we weren't home.
We didn't know each other. Yeah. It was like, hi, how you doing? Nice to see you. As they're picking up or dropping off Elena. I would look at him.
I'm like,
yeah, he said, fuck you. Threw eggs at my car. Like, you know, shit like that. No, he was always a very nice guy. I never felt any. And that's the thing. We've talked about it before. If you're in this kind of situation, first, you have to be over it. You got to be over the relationship that you exited. You got to have everything put to rest. And then if you're respectful to the other person and that person's respectful back, you can build a friendship from there.
You know, something I've been seeing too more is I'm seeing like co-parenting.
Yeah.
The way they exist, even with their significant other's person.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy, I met him back in Job Corps too. But he just posted something about how he apologized to his ex's now man about some stuff he did when he was you know young and stupid kind and of immature,
did to her, like
maybe to her or him, and said
back to when they were first together,
you know. So it was like, if I had talked shit about you,
right,
and then I came to you, hey man, I apologize, I've gotten to know you and I was wrong, yeah, you're
and,
a good rapist,
you know, you're a good
and
guy,
so it kind of it sounds like that's what he did,
so it's healing.
And they had a selfie together and stuff, and I was just like, that's so cool, because like, it's cool to start seeing those things.
Well, think about the statistics. If it's because still of true, us. It's because of Just Really Blended. We've been doing this for 2 years, so we take credit.
Subconsciously, people hear it. Yeah. And
we copyright every single relationship that works out this way. It's because of us.
Yep.
What was I going to say? I was going to say something. Anyway.
Don't you hate that?
It's great. It's great. No, I think, yeah, it's, 50% of marriages end in divorce, right? At least that's like the statistic that's been around for a long time.
Statistic.
So.
Statistic.
So.
I've been married twice.
I haven't divorced been there once. Yet, but, you know, but it's like, if that's the case, if 50%, most of us are going to experience it some level. Like,
you know, and that's
half of us are going to have to do that.
And that's something that's crazy, is because like, it's been like that for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like that. That's like a number that's been there since forever.
Right. Well,
you know,
I'm sure it was different before when it was like, you know, we don't allow you to divorce, and you know, people have to stay in horrible situations. Yeah, but I mean,
since how long you think?
I think it's good that there's an option to leave. Like, you shouldn't be forced to stay in a relationship that's not good. But I do think a lot of people call it quits without knowing how to do the work to make it happen.
So I listen to Mr. Ballin sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and so we were listening to it on our way to Yakima yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Coaster, her cousin, by the way, he's having a baby.
Yeah, congratulations.
Baby girl. So we went to his, her cousin's baby shower. It was really cool.
Awesome.
Anyway, we're listening to Mr. Ballin, and it just, this always trips me out, right? Breaking up is not easy, right?
Right.
Sometimes doing the, like, hardest thing it's not easy. Sometimes doing the right thing is hard as fuck.
Right.
You know, jumping out of a relationship, telling your significant other, I want a divorce. Like those, do things the right way. Yeah, that's the right thing to do.
Right.
And maybe in those situations, it is, you know, you need to leave that like toxic situation.
Right.
And that's always the hardest thing to do. The right thing's always going to be the hardest.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Because it's easy to cheat and just never come back.
Yeah.
Or something, right?
And well, on Mr. Ballin, they're talking about there's these guys, and there's been stories of women, but they fucking hire a killer.
And
murder because they want it out of the relationship. Instead of just saying, hey, I don't want this. I'm done.
You know what?
You know what? I'm going to murder
you. I should just kill her because then I don't have to deal with the discomfort of leaving.
The psychotic thinking of that, though. Well, I can see why these people get life, because you got to be a psycho to think, well, I mean, I just won't have to deal with it anymore.
And their thought is, too, like, oh, she's going to take some of my money. My life's going to be hard. Well, you're choosing to leave her. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit hard.
Well, sometimes, the right thing is always the hardest. Right. You know?
There are consequences to it. Yeah. There are consequences. The question is,
you're rebuilding your life.
Right. So, you know? Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Is losing that person? And, yay, sometimes the answer is yes.
Yeah.
If she's not good for you, or if he's not good for you, and you know you've done what you can, But so, the reality of relationships, I mean.
So this kind of brings up the question of the week.
Yeah.
What do you do when you start feeling like you and your significant other are starting to grow apart? You know, how do you recognize that and bring that back together? You know, yeah. And is that something you want to do?
I think that's
sometimes you gotta, evaluate those questions.
Sure. It's totally normal. We talked about this a little bit before the podcast too. When in the course of a marriage, you're going to have periods where you're growing apart because, you know, you're busy with kids, you're busy with work, you're busy with this, you're busy with that. You have to refocus some attention here and there. It's not always the honeymoon.
No,
people get
not.
So caught up in that honeymoon phase where you're just
it's
so
mostly never the
physically
honeymoon.
Excited to see the person. And, you know, when you live together for 10 years and you see each other all the time, you have moments where you look at them and it's like you've been hit in the face. And you're like, oh, shit, like you're so pretty and blah, blah, blah. But day to day, you're just trying to live life.
You're just
trying to get through the grind of everything.
Yeah.
And in the course of just living your life, you can diverge. And you have to recognize when it's hit that point where it's like, okay, either we keep diverging or we come back together.
Yeah.
And I think the natural course of most relationships is kind of growing apart.
If you got that magnetic energy, you're gonna come back.
That's right. Yeah. Like if you started with high physical attraction, I don't mean that you like that's the most important thing. Don't get me wrong. It's not. But you have to have
there has to be something.
If there is a sexual attraction between you, you'll always have that magnetism to pull you back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
well, just
help.
Even there's always going to be something. Maybe it's not sexual. Maybe there's something else.
Right.
Some mentally, sometimes some people right that will.
Well,
know,
and that's
pull.
That's very true too. Like,
but you know what? You can still grow apart, not only mentally but physically. People grow apart.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
absolutely.
Saying? Like, where all of a sudden he doesn't touch me no more.
Right.
She doesn't. You know, which a lot of guys. Don't have to, fuck. I felt Trumpy right now the way I did.
Look,
my,
frankly,
men
touch. Whoa.
But like some guys, like myself, I need a physical touch, right?
Sure.
Like my love language is physical. Mm-hmm. I need, and I don't mean in the sexual way, you know, like it doesn't always have to be a sexual thing for me. It's just
right.
Just a reassurance.
I frequently have to put my hand on his shoulder. Yeah.
A reassurance or whatever,
back.
You know, from my wife.
Yeah.
There's something there where I, you know, that's just, and she knows that, and she's right. as
you get validation
much,
through that touch.
Yeah, as much, or even just let me touch her.
Uh-huh.
Like sometimes I just got to have my hand on her, like thigh.
Gotcha.
Or just on her boobs or something.
We all get that,
you know, but she understands
she
that
gets
I need I
so
need to
watching
do that
a movie you just
yeah there's been times I've cut the boobs. She knows, she just like she laughed, but she's not a person who likes being touched physically
a lot,
that's not who she is, but she understands what I need
and
so for us not to grow apart, she allows herself in those to be not uncomfortable, like in the sense of where she's like, you don't, you know, it's right. Just like he needs this or whatever. And now if I don't do those things, sometimes she's like, what's going on with you?
Yeah,
like she'll ask, like,
off.
Hey, why don't you grab my hand? Why don't you grab my booty?
My
or something?
Boob hasn't been held in a long time.
You haven't touched my ass in a long time.
Yeah.
And you're like, my bad.
Weep. Yeah. Sorry. Come here.
Yeah. But no, but for me, that's, that's the thing. But that's, I don't know, for us, that's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Like you say, that magnet, you get back together somehow.
Right.
And you build it if that's something you want, obviously.
And I think the problem
is. Don't kill them if you don't want them, though.
God, yeah. Let's just make that clear. Killing them is not really a great choice.
No.
It's not an actual option. Even if you get away with it.
It's never.
It's a horrible thing to do.
It's stupid.
And it's such a. Candy ass thing to do. That's like one thing I give myself. I didn't go on a lot of dates. I've never been like a player type.
Yeah.
But so I was always looking for a solid relationship, that kind of thing. But as like nice a guy, I guess, as I was, maybe it's because I've tried to be, not always been, but tried to be a nice guy. Like if I, with the second I knew it wasn't going to happen, like I didn't feel it, I would man up and like maybe not in the second, like not in the middle of the date, but like at the end of the date.
You know what? No.
As uncomfortable as it was, I'd at least say like I'm sorry, like I didn't feel the way I thought I was going to or that I did. And
you know,
so I don't think
I think that's something you should be proud of, because not a guy there was times I never did that shit.
Didn't feel right about ghosting somebody, but like
I ghosted. I was bad in that sense. So yeah. I give you a lot of respect for that because that's hard to do. To be honest,
it was hard to do. But I wanted.
I think the hard part,
like I've always felt guilty for things, like very easily. And so, as bad as I would feel hurting somebody, it was like I at least want to hurt them the right way. Because there was one girl in particular, very nice girl. We went.
You always gave a smile after you said it. Well, that felt good.
I'm proud of me. Yeah. And then block her, no. But I'm such a good guy. No, I felt like shit. I mean, you feel horrible anyway. Yeah, but at least you knew that you did what you could,
dude. I hate. So I went on
this
date
with this girl. She was a really nice girl. She was white. And I tend to like Hispanic or like darker skinned women.
I don't know.
I don't know why. And I don't mean to be all about the physical, but I have a type I'm attracted to. The girl, I mean, she was pretty. She was nice. We went on a date and it went well. We went for coffee and like the talking and everything was great. So we set up a second date. I was like, yeah, I mean, hey, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember driving into her neighborhood. I totally panicked. I looked, it was almost like a panic attack. I was like, kind of like, it was like, this could be my life. Like,
yeah, you get that. Yeah,
I got a total panic.
You get that, like, that reality gets you. Like,
I pulled into her driveway. Like, we hung out at her house for a few minutes. We were going to go see
your life flash before you.
And, like, again, very nice. We talked. Like, it was a very easy conversation. Like, don't freak out. You know, just like, we're going to go to a movie. As we're walking into the movie, I see a guy walking in with a Hispanic girl, and like, that's what I want.
That was your sign. Like,
and so, well, it was Pasco, so I mean, it was like the odds were.
Well, no, I like to think that was divine intervention in a way.
I don't know. I felt horrible because I'm sitting there with her the entire time,
thinking about that girl you saw with the big butt.
Not even her, but I'm just like, I just knew. I'm like, I do remember. It was 21 Jump Street we went and saw.
Okay,
and so it was like, it was a good movie. But I felt so bad because, like, I did not want to lead her on. So, like, I drove her home, and she lived right by the theater. So, luckily, it was a very short drive. But, like, I just stayed in the car, like, all right, well, that was fun. Like, bye. And she got out of the car. I think she kind of knew.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't want to, like, make it seem
anything.
But that was the time where. So then, like, I just, like, I think I texted her right after. I was like, I'm really sorry. I just didn't feel what I thought.
See, I could text someone something, but to say it to them was so hard because
So maybe I wasn't that great a guy. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. In my mind, I did a very noble thing.
No, you know what? I know, like, nowadays, that's the thing to do.
Maybe I called her.
Either way,
know,
like,
but,
I mean, you know, that's
so
not
stressful.
How technology made things easier. But. No, I've been in those situations where it's just like,
I'm so glad to be married. I'm so glad to be married
so nice.
Because I love my person and I don't have to feel awkward or bad. I resisted. I think the reason I didn't date a lot and I hated it at the time, I felt like it was all about me. Like something was wrong with me. But I think really I was so afraid of those situations of having to hurt people or like,
oh, dude,
I don't know. I don't do well with that.
I don't like hurting people's feelings.
Like
that's why I wouldn't like breaking up. They say breaking up's hard to do.
Yeah.
Right? And then an 80s song.
Breaking up is hard to do.
It's not right. Fucking, I would do whatever I could to see if they could break up with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it makes sense. It
or,
make
you
sense.
Know, yeah. I don't know why. Instead of being, you know,
well,
being a pussy.
Easier. I mean, it is easier
really
to make somebody leave you than to have to say it.
What? But. You don't want to be with me no more? Should I never said that? Yeah. I'm pretty sure
you said it.
Yeah.
No, I'm out of here. You know, I'm not going to stay where I'm not wanted.
Yeah, I bust out my New York accent. I'm out.
I should have done that. Like, I knew it. The second we walked in that theater, you were over me. I'm out of here.
I saw you looking at his ass.
Yeah, you were looking at that guy. I know it.
No, but I've been where it's like the girl's like pretty, but like I just there was something missing in the fact that it's just like, I know this. I don't want this. Like, there was a girl I was dating where I was just, I remember I met some of her friends and like, we're at a house. And, you know, one of them was like a Niner fan. And, you know, that's me. We're watching
the
game.
So you're connecting with friends.
Yeah.
And, stuff.
And I'm just like, looking around, I'm like, this isn't.
Isn't it horrible when that feeling hits you?
I'm like, there are, like, I got this point where I'm like, I don't think they'll ever understand me.
It's too real. You know what I mean? Too, sometimes.
That too. Like, I can feel the people, and I'm like, I don't think they'd understand me. I don't think this is my environment. Like, oh my God, I don't want to. And so, you know, shortly after, same thing. It was just like, you know, like, it's not fair to you. I'm not ready for this. Right. Like, this, I'm scared.
Right.
Motherfucker, I'm scared.
Well, so.
Boss, I'm tired.
I'll say something, and I want to be very sensitive about this, because the person that I was hanging out with was an amazing person, and her family were amazing people.
Jennifer? No, I'm just kidding. I just made up a name.
No, but there was a girl that I connected with, and I felt like, wow, she's a really cool person. Like, we're really hitting it off. We met at a wedding. And then she came to kind of visit. Like, we were kind of going fast.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's my thing. But so she came over and visited in Kennewick, because she was living in Bend at the time.
Oh,
and
damn.
Then, yeah. And so I was like, man, she's just really cool. Like, she got along with my family really well. She was a white girl. But I was like, I
she can tan. I'll be all right.
This. Yeah. Like, she was definitely like. You're in the tanning booth, we're good. No, but like, it wasn't bothering me.
It
felt natural with her. Everything was good. We talked. I mean, we've been talking probably about a month, a lot.
Yeah.
And I felt good about it. Her family was going to the beach, and I usually wouldn't jump that fast, but she's like, we're going to the beach. You want to go? It's like, well, yeah, what could go wrong? Sure. Why not? I got nothing going on.
Yeah.
Like, we got there, felt great. Met everybody, very nice. I mean, met grandma, met mom and dad, met like, uncle.
We're hanging out,
and like, we weren't to that level or anything. Yeah. Like, it was, we had never kissed, we never really done anything. We were just kind of like talking and stuff. But I mean, here I am with the family. Like, obviously, we're kind of working in that direction. Yeah. Day one, great. Everything's great. Everything's great. And then I'm in the shower one morning, and this thought hits me in the head, and it's like, that would really suck if I didn't have, like, found I didn't have feelings for her. And that
you had no more feelings in my for chest, her.
It was like, that was it. And I had feelings for her as like a person.
No, but you didn't have that.
She was such.
You didn't have that.
But I, yeah, it's like in that moment, I knew that. That wasn't it for me. You know? Like,
oh, yeah.
And it was reality so set in quick. Because I'm with everybody. I mean, like, I'm there. I'm in their space. I'm in their thing.
So how long are you supposed to be there?
Luckily, this is towards the end. I mean, I think there was like a day left, maybe. It wasn't like super early on.
You're like, oh my God.
But then it was like, here I am trying to not lead her on, but I'm in the middle of everybody.
And this is a movie.
And they're so nice. I mean, like, her grandma was so sweet. Her parents were so nice.
I've seen this rom-com.
Her brothers were cool. Like, everybody, like, if you guys hear this,
they were awesome.
You are an amazing person. Your family, they're all amazing people. They were so welcoming and so, like, just the people that you would want. I mean, on paper, just didn't everything like a guy's was perfect.
Daughter.
No, I just, like, I don't know. Yeah. I just...
No.
It wasn't the right thing.
Exactly.
And it wasn't anything with her. It just, whatever it was, I can't even, like, articulate it. It just wasn't...
But I know that feeling, what you're talking about.
It's like
it's just a terrifying
feeling, because all of a sudden, it's like, you're almost... like claustrophobic, like you're just like that feeling like I need to.
There's so much weight on your chest at the moment.
It's like, and I'm like with her family on vacation.
I haven't been in that situation
so bad, and I called her after, and had like I know I called her about it and was like, I am so sorry. Like we were on this vacation. Like I just don't think I feel the romance. Like I feel definitely friendship. Like I think you're an awesome person, but.
There's something, and
she's like doing great. Like she got married, she has kids. Like I think it worked out really well for her too. So you know, God bless.
She's still waiting for you.
No, I don't think so. But it's just those, you know, when you're growing up, like, and when you're in your 20s, like back to that kind of first part, you have nothing figured out.
No,
and that's like when you do the stupidest shit. And
oh yeah,
I don't know. I've always been lucky to be with good people.
Yeah.
You know, like I've never been with somebody that was not a good person.
Same here.
And I really appreciate that because I don't know. I
there have been people like I've had. So I've had my player moments, but I always had like certain long term relationships. Like my first girlfriend in high school. I was with her pretty much all through high school and a little bit after. And like we, you know, that was, you know, 4 years, 5 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And obviously I, towards the end, I was doing my player stuff, being stupid. And then I met this other girl just before I met Blanca. And, you know, we went through a rough, weird place in my mid, my young 20s. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the tougher times in my life, right? But, you know, I was there to help and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I met Blanca. But, like, I always had these good relationships. I never had, like, a bad thing. And then, obviously, Alicia. And but it, I've always been grateful for that. Like, too, you know, like, you never had those super terrible.
No. Like, I I've always been in more long term because I don't. I was always
able to be friendly with my people afterwards.
I mean,
just to be like.
So my high school girlfriend, like we, well, maybe we not broke my high up school when we went to college. Actually, never mind. So like we were together for, I think, like a year and a half, and then we broke up, which for high school, I think is kind of a long relationship. Yeah. Like we thought we were going to get married. Apparently, of course, I'm just going to get married all the time. But like then my high school or my college girlfriend and I were together for 4 years, and we met in like sophomore year and then broke up after college. But she was a great person, and we stayed friends, you know, for quite a while. But then,
as friends do, they come and go in your life. But
like once Blanc and I were together, because like there was a time I wanted to get back with my ex girlfriend and all that, and like so that was kind of messy. I understood why Blanca didn't.
Do you think
stay friends?
Do you think? Do you think? Did I ask this about girls? Oh yeah, I was saying. Do you think you can have a relationship with the other couple? Like sex, the opposite sex. Like,
I think it's really tricky.
My best friend.
No, I don't think you could be best Jimmy. Friends. Like, because it's hard. I mean, like Blanca in the beginning had a really close friend who was a guy, and like I like the guy. He's a great guy, and I don't have any issue with him. But it was hard at times because having a close friend, it is kind of part of what you're supposed to be. You know, relationship side. Like I can't see, and it was fine. Like neither one of them ever crossed the line or anything. Like it was fine. It's just like. Knowing that, I know long term, if your girl's going to another guy to tell about her day or, you know, to talk about something that's really bothering her, that's what you're supposed to be. And vice versa.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You can't have another person. Now, going with the guys to blow off steam or going with the girls to blow off steam.
Or going to another guy to talk about her guy.
Oh, yeah.
Johnson, he just didn't do this.
It's just not a good idea because if that guy has any feelings, now he's got all the ammunition and blah, blah, blah. And like, I don't know. I just don't see that working out. Now, if it was a friendship that started before the relationship and that was like, you know, Blanca and her friend, like, like I said, I got no issues with it. It was fine. But like, you know, that's a little tougher because you're not going to just be like, you can't talk to that.
Anymore.
But I mean, just realistically, I don't think your marriage has as great a chance of working out if your best friend is of the opposite gender. I mean, I just don't.
No, I get it.
Because that is supposed to be your person. You can't really subdivide your person.
No.
Like, well, yeah, but I really want to go talk to him.
You're mine.
You know what I mean? Like,
I tell these guys, really you know you're mine, friends. Girl. You better stop. She made some joke about something. And I was like, oh, yeah? Yeah, you better shut up. Yeah, you're mine, girl. You better quit it.
They like it, though.
No, no. She knows how to make me jealous sometimes.
But then, you know, Blanc and I now, we've been together for, we're on 11 years knowing each other. We've been married for how many years we've been married?
10 years.
Quite a few years. Yeah. 9 years, 10 years, whatever it's been. And it's really odd when you get, because like, you know, even with my relationships before haven't been longer outside of those like tiny dating things, but those aren't, you know, but like the real relationships, like when you're young, it just seems like anything can end a relationship. And it's wild when you marry somebody and you stick with it because there are moments where you realize this person's in it. Like any other time, this would have been it. Like I can feel that feeling where you just knew that this would have been over. And they don't leave. And they're still there. And you get through whatever. Well, I mean, we haven't had huge issues, but...
Yeah, you know, even with my drinking, I don't think Alicia and I had huge issues. But if anything was going to ruin the relationship, it would have been probably... Like, ultimately, it would have been if I would have continued drinking, being, like, a dumb shit all the time or something. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, every relationship, whether it's a big thing or a little thing, like there's always potential for things to go south. Like you said, diverging and converging over and over. But
I mean, if you want something to work, you're going to do what you can to make that work. You're
and
gonna...
I will say, like, intellectual stimulation is a big thing, too.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Having some, like, someone could be hot as hell, but if you don't feel mentally stimulated by that person, if you can't have a conversation at the depth that you need.
I think that's, like, that's me and Elisa, we have a really good, we communicate well. People sometimes will see, like, they think, like, the kids sometimes will be like, you guys fight. And we're like, we never fight. Like, but we don't fight. That's the thing. Like, right. Alicia will talk loud.
Right.
It sounds like I'm being abused. She talks real loud.
She talks loud.
But no,
she touches me with her hand real hard.
We never have like super crazy arguments where we're like actually fighting. We'll bicker like joking around, kind of like how you and Blanca do.
Right.
But it's
we do a lot of joke fighting.
Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. We just fuck around half the time. Right. But
we used to argue a lot more, I think.
But I mean,
we both grown, chilled.
I feel like me and Alicia have actually gotten a lot closer over the last like year or so.
Well, your energy levels change too as you get older. Like in my late 30s, I've definitely hit more of a phase. Like I don't have the energy that I used to fuck around with a bunch of shit. So it's like, I'm not gonna be as loud or
Yeah, no,
I don't know. Things change.
Like I've been trying to grow as a person, so I've learned to like, let things. Some things I'm just like, whatever. That's what it is. Right. It's always going to go this way anyway. Like, this is the same routine.
Patterns,
just like her, though.
The patterns.
She's probably seen stuff or something. Whatever. It's like a small thing.
Yeah.
It's not like
I think the coolest thing, too, and you've probably experienced this. Anybody that's been married for 10 years probably experienced this. You know, Blanca and I, our backgrounds were so different. Our families were so different.
Yeah.
And, like, all of our traditions were so different. And it's been kind of fun now that we've been through it for so long. We kind of have our own flow and tradition of how things work. Like I feel like we've really melded the two things together.
I think that's how cool. Like me and Elisa, we have our own traditions that we've built, you know, probably based off of some of her stuff. Cause I don't remember having like super traditions growing up, but like, you know, we'll have dinner together.
Yeah.
Most of the time with the kids. You know,
I wish there's times where we don't,
but a lot of times we'll all sit down.
The kids have no interest. Blanca doesn't care as much. That's something that I should be.
But like
more.
The family get togethers and stuff.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot of those. Even like we'll go to Alicia's.
Your family's away. I mean, you have to really.
Well, my family's never been like. Real get together like that.
Yeah.
Like Alicia's family is.
Your sister comes over from time to time.
Yeah. No, and I still, you know, me and my sister.
But yeah, I know what you mean, though. Yeah. Just randomly kind of getting together.
Like you and your brother had barbecue together. Yeah. You know,
but he
like
also lives 2 minutes away. I can drive to his house in 2 minutes. So
that's true. Like, I don't know. It'd probably be different. My sister was a little like 2 minutes away.
Yeah, right. But my brother and I have become really close, too. I mean, we fought like hell as kids, and now we're really good friends. So,
that should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's. Life.
I don't know. We told, I'll end on this, but we were telling that Levi kid that, you know, I was saying basically with family, sometimes you just, you know, you build tradition. He told me this story. I won't get into it, but like, basically I was like, as you get your own family, you start building traditions based off of what you went through in life or something maybe you want to introduce that you've always wanted to do.
Right.
You know, sometimes that's the beauty of having a family. You get to introduce that stuff.
Absolutely.
Because he was really like in awe of the fact that we have dinner with the kids.
Uh-huh.
And then he was very like it was his birthday a while back and Sadia decorated his apartment.
Uh-huh.
Really nice balloons. Birthday. He came home and he was like, what? Like he thought just some friends were gonna come over, but she had it all decked out, and I was like, "That's because we've taught her well because we do that with the kids,
right?
Every that
if someone's special to it's, you, this
you know,
is how you, yeah.
they've come over. Like our house, we'll decorate. It's nothing crazy. We'll just have balloons. No, happy birthday!
It's definitely a birthday
your day.
Celebration.
Yeah. And we'll leave it up for about 3 months
until the next birthday. Change the balloons.
Dude, we had decorations up one time for like 2 months.
That's
like,
funny.
Okay, I'm
your
gonna take this out.
Over.
Yeah. But she, I was like, you know, she's seen that, and it kind of made me feel good, like. Seeing that she's like kind of introducing that thing. She likes, you know.
Well, the good thing about this kid, he reminds me a lot of my dad. My dad grew up without, you know, a great family structure. And he married my mom, who had a very solid family structure. And he really bonded with them. And he really took after. Like, he loved my... And he, you know, he loved his parents. But they were closed off people is kind of what I've gathered. Well, and so he really bonded with my grandparents on my mom's side and loved them. I mean, they were like his, kind of like you with Louis.
Yeah, yeah, I was just going to say, that's kind of like how I feel with like the
surrogate
Blanca's parent. Side.
They, you know, my grandpa was a funny guy. He was a quiet guy. He, in my mind, he was like a mob boss. He just kind of had that quiet, like whatever the fuck kind of attitude. So my dad had like dig under his house to replace pipes and stuff. And he would just stand there and tell him what to do while he smoked cigarettes. And
that's awesome.
You know, but he taught, he looks at it like, you know, he taught me so much.
Yeah.
Because he had done all this
stuff. See, your dad looked at the positive in some situation.
He looked at him as like a father. Like, he taught me how to run the pipes. He taught me how to this and that, whatever. And so it was a, I mean, it's like I got the benefit of growing up from a man that did not have what he gave to me.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that because it's like I have an understanding without the pain.
Yeah.
So at least I'm aware of it. But
well, that's good.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway,
so good job to this kid. I think he's gonna do all right.
I think so. He's a good kid. Yeah. I, you know, obviously, I think there's some things there with him that he needs to kind of work with himself within himself.
But that's true for any 25-year-old. If and that's you kind haven't of, fucked some things up at 25,
yeah. So yeah. I think there's some stuff there where he, it's just stuff he needs to work on.
Sure.
You know, he was asking me about my sobriety and stuff and why, you know, what got me to want to quit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told him my stupid story and he's like, oh, okay.
Good for you though, man.
I was like, I mean, yeah, he goes, but I'm a happy drunk. I was like, that's it. Yeah.
It starts
I
go, way.
I was a happy drunk too. But then there would be these like self moments where it was just, I wasn't happy with me. That I might've been happy, but I hated me. And so like you get to those points where you start dwelling on those inner thoughts and you're like, maybe I should stop drinking.
Right.
But anyway. Yeah.
Well, he's 25. He's got time to figure that out.
Keep drinking. That's my
alcohol
advice.
Just fixes keep everything. No.
Yeah.
No, hey.
Heroin. Yeah. I said I did heroin. He was like, what? And I was like, I'm kidding. I didn't do heroin. At least he's like, oh my God.
I quit.
Don't believe whatever.
A little bit of heroin, it helps.
Don't believe whatever this guy says.
Don't do that. That heroin will not fix your life.
Got a smack. Anyway, guys, hopefully this comes out and
this should come out great. Oh man, we didn't even mention our sponsor this time.
Oh,
son of a bee. Okay, next time we're gonna do it.
Yeah, we'll do it
anyway. Magic Mind, we're still working with them.
We found out just recently. But yeah, I'm glad we are
re-signed. We enjoy them very much, and their product is fantastic. So we won't count this as one where we've actually done a little piece. But drink your Magic Mind and have a great week.
You too.
All right, guys. See ya.
I'm so hungry. It hit me like at the end of this.